You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Two quite short Bible readings. The first is from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 to 13. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. And in Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And now, people of Limbrick Wood, what does the Lord require of you? Well, we began our worship today with the text that I shall say in a minute, an instruction from Jesus to let your light shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. The church is made up of every one of us, and we are all called to shine for Jesus. Not just the ministers, deacons, leaders, or teachers, but all of us who call ourselves Christians. Christ has a purpose and plan for every life here. Yes, we're all different, but each of our lives has significance. God has placed us where we are, and he wants to use us where we are. Christians are God's instruments to bring light into the dark world. So we are lights, and the world needs light desperately. We are called to be world changers, not world conformers. And God will enable us to be shining lights for him. But how, you may well ask? Well, to help us, I'd like us to go back to that Old Testament passage. There were words of Moses, and they were said to the children of Israel who were just about to enter into the promised land. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires you to fear him, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, and to obey his commands. Moses was calling the people to a wholehearted commitment to God and his ways, and that is the same call that comes to us. Billy Graham said, "The greatest need today is not more Christians, but more true Christians." In other words, wholehearted Christians. It took 40 years before the children of Israel were able to enter the promised land. The previous generation perished in the wilderness due to their faithlessness. They lack of commitment. A new generation was about to enter Canaan and claim their inheritance. They probably felt nervous about what was going to happen and how they could please God. Their faith needed some direction. So Moses gave them these instructions, these five things that, to help them. And if we take them on board, they will help us to rise to the new challenges before us. And you have got new challenges before you. But you know, we actually have an advantage over the Israelites because we are under the new covenant. Because of Jesus, we have been given the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And he is there to help us and enable us and guide us. Well, the first instruction Moses gave is to fear the Lord your God. And this involves our attitude. Psalm 111 verse 10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Now, this fear is not being scared or fearing punishment and judgment from God. That's wrong belief. This fear means reverence for God, holding him in awe. And that's a healthy response. God is holy and powerful, but he's also personal. He wants a personal relationship with each one of us. He's interested in every aspect of our lives, and he wants what's best for each one of us. Paul wrote, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And Jesus was humble and gentle, and he only did what the Father told him to do. He depended on his Heavenly Father for everything. And may that same kind of fear for the Lord be what we have. May we learn wisdom and have a humble and gentle attitude. What does the Lord require of us? We are to fear the Lord, and we are to follow the Lord and walk in his ways. This involves actions. When we're following God, there is a public and a private walk. It is private when we set time aside and have a quiet time with God, reading the Bible, reflecting on God in meditation, in prayer, and maybe even fasting. And if we protect our private times with God, then we will be more conscious of his presence with us, guiding us and directing us. Now, our public walk is our everyday life, when we're at work, in our homes, while shopping, in fact, everywhere we go. Wherever we go, God wants us to advance his kingdom and his purposes. He wants us to impact the world for him and bring light into the darkness. With Jesus in our hearts, we can bring goodness and mercy and grace and kindness and love into the world. May we walk in his ways with the right attitude and with the right actions. Thirdly, we are to love the Lord. So that involves our affection. Jesus said the greatest commandment is, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." There it is again. We are to love God wholeheartedly. Another word sometimes used is unconditionally. Too often our love can be based on what God does for us. If he sorts things out for us, if he sorts out difficult situations, if he gives us the job that we want, the partner we want, if he heals us, then we'll love him. But that's love for what we can get. The children of Israel, when things got tough, grumbled at God and wanted to go back to Egypt and slavery. They were happy to worship God when everything was going well, but abandoned him when their expectations weren't met. In our Philippians reading, it said, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God." And I know that's a challenge. But together with God's help, we can live and love like this. When we do things lovingly, it shows. Some of you, like me, might like watching MasterChef or maybe Great British Bake Off. There, you often hear the presenters talking about it shows when food is prepared with love. And it does. And it's true about everything. Love shines through. The most important thing for all of us is to remember that God has shown us how much he loves us by sending Jesus into the world. And Jesus gave his life on the cross for all the things that we have done wrong, so that we might be forgiven, have a fresh start. That's how much he loves us. That's how much God loves you, more than we can ever imagine. You are precious to him. He cares about every aspect of your life and wants to have a close relationship with you. May yours and my response to his great love be to love him with all our hearts. And as we learn to fear the Lord, to follow the Lord, to love the Lord, we will begin to shine for him and begin to make an impact in our world. The fourth instruction is to serve the Lord with all our hearts and soul. So this involves our ability. Heart and soul is the core of who we are. It's seen in the way we act and the way we think and the way we express ourselves. So at the core of our being, there should be the desire to the best we can be for God. God wants to use us. He wants us to be a blessing to other people. And that could involve putting his wants and cares above our own. So we need to know what he wants and what he cares about. Too often we're concerned about our own needs, to bother about other people's needs. But you know, we're all different. So there are lots of ways that we can serve Jesus. Over the last few years, churches have been initiating many projects, helping the homeless, the poor, the hungry, the hurting. There are many opportunities to serve the Lord. But some of us might be limited in the ability of what we can do. But there's always someone who we can help. And even with a word, a smile, a phone call, a prayer for them, this too will be serving the Lord. God has uniquely designed all of us for his service. Romans 12:6 says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. God wants us to use our gifts to be a blessing to the world. God has given to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well, so that God's generosity can flow through you. Words from 1 Peter. Think about what you're good at, what gifts you have. Ask each other what they think your gifts are, and then use them. That's why God has given them to you. A little while ago, I saw a sign in a village shop which said, "Use us or lose us." Well, apply that to your gifts. Use them for God and for the benefit of other people. We have a great and generous God, and he wants us to use our gifts to show how generous and good he is to the people around us. Moses brought in one last thing to make sure there was no misunderstanding of what he was saying. And this is that we are to obey the Lord. And this involves alertness. We are to be on our guard against being distracted or preoccupied with our own things, or maybe less important things, which can take us away from worshipping God. We are to keep the commands and decrees that are in the Bible. We need to be people who read the Bible, people of the book. If we don't know what's in the Bible, we will not know how to serve God or what he is really like or what he wants us to do. Here's an example. You need to use your imagination. In our church in Rugby, we have quite a few runners now. You sometimes see them on the streets. But just imagine if they didn't bother training or they didn't put on their running shoes, would they really expect to be able to get round the track or finish a marathon? Of course not. They have to prepare themselves. They have to train themselves and use the right footwear. The point being is that if we don't read God's word, the Bible, or listen to it, do we really believe we can be the instruments God wants us to be? Or put his ways above our own to serve him? We need to continually learn more of what is in the Bible. I didn't say how long I'd been a Christian, but I share an anniversary with you. I became a Christian 60 years ago, at the end of the year, not the beginning. I'm a little bit older than Tony in age, but he's a little bit older than me in being a Christian. But you know, after 60 years, there's still a lot more for me to learn. We need to keep our minds and hearts open to learn more and more about him and what he requires of us as individuals and as a church here in Limbrick Wood. There should be nothing in our lives that would cause discredit to Christ. Jesus said, "By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We are to love God and love other people, putting Jesus first, others next, and yourselves last. And that I've given you a clue what that spells out: joy. So the Bible tells us that we are to fear, follow, love, serve, and obey the Lord, not for God's benefit, but for our benefit and for the benefit of everyone around us. Another old children's song is, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Well, whether we like it or not, we are on display. People look at us and expect us to act in a certain way, to talk in a certain way, because we're Christians. They are watching us. What are they seeing? Are they seeing light or darkness? When I walk into a darkened room and flick the switch, I expect the light bulbs to turn on. And things are then illuminated. God expects the same of us. We are his lights. Whether we're like candles, or light bulbs, or torches, or lighthouses, or like in Philippians, shining like the stars in the universe, lighting up our world. We are his lights, and the world needs light. Many people don't care about Jesus, and for us, living among them might be a bit uncomfortable. We're to stand firm. And let us remember that we all have an important part to play in our world, just where we are. We are to be examples of Christ-like living, showing people what Jesus is really like. Jesus is the supreme source of our light. He is the Son of Righteousness, and his light is reflected upon the world from the millions of believers whom he has enlightened and blessed by his Holy Spirit, all shining for Jesus right across our world. Jesus is the light. We are lesser lights, and our light comes from his living in us. Christ is the power supply, and when we cooperate with him, we can light up our own corner of darkness. I read a story, it's an old story, about a Hindu trader in India who asked a missionary, "What do you put on your face to make it shine?" With surprise, the missionary said, "I don't put anything on my face." The trader, a little bit impatiently, said, "Yes, you do. All of you who believe in that Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat and even in Bombay." Then suddenly, the missionary twigged what he was thinking, and his face glowed even more. "Now I know what you mean, and I'll tell you the secret. It's not something we put on from the outside, but it's something that comes from within. It is the reflection of the light of God in our hearts. Joy on our faces shows that we love Jesus. What are people seeing in your lives? Remember, one candle in a dark room lightens up the darkness. There are people all around us who are hurting or who've lost their way. Let us go in Jesus' name and bring light into their darkness and shine for him. May the Lord lead us and guide us and direct us. And may we all be obedient to him in all that we do. The Lord bless you."
You are listening to an online message from Limerick Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limerick Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.